a series of lectures which will run for an entire week. It is Brahma Vimohana Leela. And we will start with the question, why did Shukadev Goswami faint? Is this really working? I know my Serbian audience very well. I think if you make it too complicated with these modern things, nothing will work. And you can speak English? Are you convinced? Okay. First of all, let me express before I start how very happy I am to be here with all of you back in the forest of Frushka Goranga, struggling for your attention like every year. It is a joyous event for me to have such a temperamental audience. Who, as I know, you all are very interested in Krishna consciousness. You are devotees, and I will try to invite you for an experience in Krishna consciousness during these 7 days. You must know that the Vaishnava tradition was carried from ancient times into modern times by really 2 very important processes. The first is the Katha movement. It is when devotees come together, like here, with a single purpose of hearing about Krishna. Muslim invaders, the Moguls under the rule of Genghis Khan and later his inheritors, were trying to dominate Indian's spiritual culture, but were ultimately not successful because people would hear everywhere Krishna Katha or Ram Katha and become enchanted and let me say bound to Krishna and Ram to such a degree that it could not die. People would talk grandmothers to grandchildren, gurus to disciples, and those few rare blessed souls who would be able to not only give the narration but also the rasa, that is the feeling of a ecstatic spiritual emotion towards Krishna as they were speaking. The second is the chanting of the holy name. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that just like Krishna always comes with his Swarup Shakti, Radharani, the holy name also always comes with Krishna Katha. These 2 things, Krishna's name and the tellings of his form, his qualities, like his extraordinary mercy to the devotees in this world, And ultimately, his playful pastimes are enough to capture the lost soul by the heart and pull it back home, back to God. And I'm saying by the heart, because spiritual life is not really so much understood in our rational brain, but it is meant to purify our heart and touch our heart and grab our heart. With heart, we don't refer to a sentimental Italian concept. Oh, my heart is lost in Venice, you know. No, when we talk of the heart, we mean that place in us which is the meeting point of the soul and of God. No? Like the Upanishadic traditions say, we are like a tree, body is like a tree, and the two birds are there, the soul and the super soul. Where are they exactly? Where is this mystical tree? It is in the heart. So Krishna's holy name and Krishna's wonderful narrations can capture our heart and pull it back to Krishna, so that a lost soul, Jivan Bhatta, a bound soul, can become a liberated soul. So during these afternoon sessions, which start ideally at 5 o'clock, and not later as you have come, we will do these two things. We will chant the holy name, and we will hear some tips how to involve ourselves deeper in the chanting, and we will just give our receptive oral reception. It's called the receptive, no, it's the submissive oral reception. This is how Prabhupada says it, to Krishna in the form of his narrations. And as we are doing this, we will see for ourselves if something is happening for us. And I believe if both of us, that is you as my respected audience and I as your servant, do our job well, then Krishna must appear in this effort, or he will be drawn by our sincere purpose. That's what we are going to do. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this amazing power of talks about Krishna in Bombay, 1973, and I remember when I heard it for the first time, I was very much shocked, you could say. Shocked is excited is the better word. He says, Krishna's place, Goloka Vrindavan, is spread everywhere. In other words, he says, everywhere is the kingdom of God. Good morning, you are sitting in the kingdom of God. How does this Goloka Vrindavan become experienced? He says, as soon as the devotee, yes, tatratishtami narada yatra gayanti matbhakta. Krishna says, I do not stay in Vaikuntha Loka. I do not stay in the heart of the yogis. I stay there where my devotees are chanting and hearing about my glories. This is the process, Prabhupada said. And then in his unimitable way, which captures the essence of spiritual life, he says it in one word, immediately, sada, now, you know, immediately means? Odlishno? No.
Odma.
Odma.
Yes.
This works immediately. So what do you think? Would you like to give it a try? To just understand, we are sitting here as devotees. The spiritual world is can be experienced by us if we sit together, chant about Krishna, hear his glories. Prabhupada says immediately this works. Today I will set the spiritual foundation. This, by the way, is a reoccurring theme. It means it is repeatedly stressed that this process brings Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that even a neophyte, that is a beginner, if he takes part in hearing about Krishna, will be able to experience bhava, Krishna bhava, that is devotional ecstasy in his heart. Would you like to experience devotional ecstasy? For doesn't it get boring when it has no ecstasy? So dull, heart, no love, so ordinary, so attached. But Prabhupada says this, even a small touch of this can produce these feelings. And an example is given. When on a hot summer day, you touch a block of cold ice, you will be immediately able to feel the cold, provided there is no cork in between. So we get to hear already a little, oh, there are conditions to this. And we will talk a little bit more about these conditions. But for now, I would like to awaken your curiosity to immediately make a spiritual experience, even if you consider yourself either out of humility or out of a good sense of reality, a beginner. No? You can make this experience by this very powerful process, just like someone can touch a very cold ice block and feels in the beginning a little hot actually when you touch the ice, and then you feel the cold. But Rupa Goswami says, Srimad Bhagavatam Ashvado Rasikai Saha, you must be sure that this hearing about Krishna, this exercise, is done in the association of devotees who are tasting Krishna consciousness. Ashvado means to taste. Huh? When this ability to taste is within everyone, we can taste the difference usually between a salty preparation and a sweet preparation or bitter preparation. You know, we can taste the preparation and give a report. This tastes bitter, this tastes sweet, this tastes salty. But when it comes to hearing about Krishna, the senses of a materialist are so covered that they don't work here. They find it not interesting. Yesterday, I was in Germany at a costume ball. It was organized by some professors, and one came as a dwarf, other came as Gandalf, another came as the one whose name should not be mentioned. It was a masquerade. Everyone had to come with a dress. And then there was dancing, Yeah, I was observing. I was on my safe seat. I had given a lecture in the beginning and chanted with them kirtan in the beginning with all these dwarves and Gandalfs and you know these Schneewittchen, Rotkäppchen, the wolf, the wook, you know. Everyone was there. It was in the town of, near the town of the Gebrüder Grimm. You know, who collected the fairy tales and brought them out. And I noticed, as I had been in the church and sung kirtan with all of them, and then my part was over, and I noticed the evening was getting more colorful, and there was real sword fights, you know, from medieval time. It was German cultural elite having an evening of relaxation and entertainment. And I just left the meeting at one stage because I just didn't find a taste for this. But as I was leaving, in some disappointment, are there not better things, you know, how to spend an evening, you know, kirtan, of course, but this is a different group, you know, more culture. And then I noticed, for these people, they had a taste in this. And because of my own spiritual efforts, my taste was for Krishna consciousness. But this works also in a different way. Some who come to hear about Krishna, that is, those who have materialistic tendencies and very strong material attachment, can find it in the beginning a little boring, just like I found it boring to be in material entertainment. Because, you know, in this world, our taste for Krishna, which is the most natural, has been replaced with unnatural tastes, material attachments. We have forgotten who we are, and we have forgotten that we have forgotten who we are. Can you think for a moment about this? We have forgotten that we have forgotten God. This is a good thing. We have forgotten that we have forgotten Krishna. That's the main problem. You have forgotten that you have forgotten Krishna. Therefore, he is not so important. The Gebrüder Grimm and their narrations and their costumes seem to be more important for the conditioned souls. I could see that. And I thought, you know, well, as we will go in what I will call now a therapeutic hearing, that is, even though we may sometimes not find the taste, we will continue to make an effort to submissively receive the pastime. The pastime will act on us, and it will cleanse the heart. The abhadranis will be cleansed in the language of the Bhagavata. Who gives oral reception to this Bhagavad Katha, all what is unfortunate on the heart will be cleansed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example of dirt which has covered the mirror and needs to be wiped away. My dear devotees, this is a very important sadhana of devotional practice which will prepare you, listen to this, for your eternal life. The Bhagavatam says in plain language that all of us here are destined to die. Also all of you in the room, no exception. You will all die. Every day, the Bhagavatam says, imperceptibly to the eyes of a foolish person, the life duration is decimated, becoming smaller, shorter. With one exception, those who sit in Krishna Katha, they are preparing for eternal life. Because in that Krishna Katha, we can make a deep realization, and in Srila Prabhupada's word, he says, this realization for a moment prepares one's complete life for eternity. So although we are all death bound, if we engage in what is called sadhana, a powerful spiritual practice, we will conquer death. You know, there are obviously scriptures who accompany the main scriptures. They are called the Mahatmyas, the glorification of the main scripture. There's a little story found in them about one thief who was stealing and doing, I think he also was a criminal. He did bad things. And one time, the police was chasing after him. And he thought, I must hide. And he thought the best place to hide is in the association of devotees who hear. Maybe we have a thief around here who has the same logic. He's the police is after him for a minor criminal offense, and he thinks they won't search where the devotees are. Let me go to Vrishka Gauranga camp and stay. Or you can look at your neighbor maybe and find out. Shalom say. So he saw the police was running. Where is he? They looked at the devotees. I'm not with these devotees. And they ran by, and the thief went, ah, it worked. So he heard one little sentence. Krishna is the unlimited butter thief. Wow, he thought. And then he left the katha. Death did not wait for the thief, and he was brought before Yamaraj, and Yamaraj asked Chitragupta, the secretary who puts down all the sins, what did this person do? And the Chitragupta read, you know, a long account, you know, this, and here he stole butter, and here he stole milk, here he and so on. And then he said, there's one thing good here about this person. He said where the Bhagavatam was recited, and he heard something there which touched him. Oh, Yamaraj said, this is amazing. Now, he said to the thief, you have a choice. Do you want first the punishment for your bad activities, or do you want to have first the reward for your spiritual activities? The thief said, well, if I have a choice, I spiritual. Yes, I'm duchon. Very spiritual. So then he was given a new human body, and he was sitting in the Bhagavatam class, and that was when he was older than 5 years, you know, beyond the, when you make karma by your activities. He was sitting in the Bhagavatam, and he said, I'm not going from here. So when the Yamadutas said, okay, your time is over with your good activities, he said, I have acquired some more good activities now by sitting in the Bhagavatam. You can't get me, you can't touch me, I'm spiritual. And in other words, he utilized the chance to get more chance, more eternal benefit. So there are many such stories. I don't want to hold our katha up too much. This Bhagavad Katha, Rupa Goswami says, it works best when it is tasted amongst devotees who are knowing how to taste Krishna consciousness. They are rasa gyas. They know how to taste the nectar. They are nectar hunters. They live in the nectar. They live it. No, it's not tasted, this fruit of the Bhagavatam, this sadhana which prepares you for your eternal life. You can't get it when you so easily when you sit with academics or people who have no belief in Krishna, Mayavadis and so on. It must be tasted amongst devotees. It must be touched by the mouth of a devotee, this katha. Then it becomes sweet and very relishable. So because I am not such a devotee who is full of rasa, I thought we will invite the most ideal devotees, Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit, here by following exactly what they say, not by inventing something or finding too many own words, but by doing it faithfully in parampara, this katha. Parikshit Maharaj is the ideal listener, and I want you to learn a little bit from him. When he was very small, in the womb of his mother still, Krishna appeared to him and saved him from an attack of a deadly weapon which was thrown by Ashwatthama to make an attempt to abort him, you know, to kill him in the womb. Krishna at that time appeared before Parikshit Maharaj and stepped in between Ashwatthama, who had thrown the weapon, and Parikshit, and protected him with his komodoki club, his club. And as a small little baby, Malo babe, Parikshit, had the darshan of the Lord. And because it was a genuine spiritual realization in his heart, you know, his spiritual heart, you know, we are not, the soul is not old and not young. It was a spiritual realization on the level of the soul. This impression of Krishna in his soul never left him. And for the rest of the life, he looked around in this world to find again Krishna. That was why he was called Parikshit, the investigator. Is this Krishna? Is this Krishna? Where is Krishna? He was an emperor, a king. He had tremendous power at his disposal. But inside his heart, he could never ever forget Krishna. When ordinary people, children were playing, he played with little dolls. And Jiva Goswami, in his work, I have written this quotation down, tells us about, it's in the Krishna Sandarbha, he tells us, Brindavanado Balakrita. Parikshit, as a little boy, and as he would grow up, would hear all this, because he didn't find Krishna so easily. So he would always hear about Krishna's baby pastimes in Vrindavan. How Krishna would steal butter. And then he would see himself in the mirror and say, "Oh, don't tell on me. Don't go to Mother Yashoda. Here, I give you some butter also. And then he smeared his image, whom he thought to be a different person, with butter, in order that that person looked also like a butter thief and wouldn't go to Mother Yashoda. He heard this Parikshit, and little Parikshit, wow, Krishna was experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, the ecstatic baby. And he would later imitate the grown-ups and ask his parents for little dolls of Krishna and play with them and put them. He would not sleep before he had the doll next to his head as a little baby. And as he grew up, he was more and more interested about Krishna. Sukadev Goswami is described as the ideal speaker, and here I will. So I want you to be like Parikshit Maharaj, very eager for Krishna. Oh, I came to this summer camp. I want to increase my Krishna consciousness, so much so that I remember Krishna. Maybe I can hear something new about Krishna which I didn't know, or some information which I needed to put two parts of a puzzle together for me. Or hopefully I can get some inspiration from Krishna directly and leave this dirty politics in ISKCON or behind, because I have something better to talk about. You know, so all these realizations could maybe, you could maybe focus on this. I want to be Krishna conscious. I want to be happy. I want to have this Krishna conscious. So Sukadev Goswami is similarly very attached to Krishna. Do you know that he didn't want to come out of the womb of his mother for 16 years? Did you know that Vyasadev, his father, by his intuition, you know, he wanted to understand, son, what's wrong? Why don't you come out? So he invoked his power of intuition, omniscience, where he could understand the mind of his son, and he understood, he wants to not fall in Maya, and for him it's not enough if I tell him, you will not fall in Maya when you come out, because I'm living as a Grihastha. And so he might think I'm in Maya, so I have to go to Dwaraka, where Krishna is personally present, and ask Krishna to come to my wife and then tell my son, Sugar, come out. I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will assure you, you won't fall in Maya. You know, Vyasadev had first said to Sukadev, come out, I know you are highly realized and you don't want to live like us, you know, like people in the world. I guarantee you, you won't fall in Maya. Then Sukadev Goswami asked back, the voice came from the womb. Imagine, you know, the father starts to speak with the child in the womb, and then he hears a little voice. If you guarantee me I won't fall in Maya, then who are you? Vyasadev said, I'm your father. The voice came back, that is your Maya. God is our father. So I won't come out. Can't believe you. So, second attempt. Vyasadev went to Dwaraka and told Krishna, please assure my unusual son he can come out. And Krishna came personally and told him, I will be with you. Don't worry, you won't fall in Maya. Now please do not continue giving trouble to your mother. It's already, you know, 16 years. It's a little long, you know. Come out. And Sukadev came out. And the moment Then Krishna went back to Dwaraka after he had said this. So Shukadev came out. Krishna was already in Dwaraka. The moment he came out, he looked around and he left the home. Vyasadev ran after him. My son, my son, my son. Shukadev was so fast, he could not be caught by his father. And he lived in a remote part of the forest. So Devi Purana explains that once the woodcutters came to a forest and they saw a young man with a bluish complexion, illumined like the sun, full of light, walking through the forest. And they thought he is a supernatural being or a ghost, and immediately ran away to Vyasadeva and said, I thought near your ashram there shouldn't be all these mystical beings. I thought this is a very pure place. Vyasadeva said, how did he look? And they described him, and then Vyasadeva knew, my son, they found my son. Now we have to get him back home. So he said to him, yes, this was a powerful ghost, but he can be exercised by two powerful mantras. So he taught them the mantras from the Bhagavatam, two shlokas from the Bhagavatam, because he knew what these verses would do to Shukadev Goswami. And the woodcutters were telling these mantras, singing these mantras, when they were in the forest, but all of a sudden they saw how Shukadev was coming behind a tree, and he looked at them with wide open eyes. The hairs were standing on end. The woodcutter said, no, 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 leave us, leave us. But Shukadev was running. Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. And he ran to the woodcutters and he fell around their neck and said, more, more of these verses. The woodcutters, with great strength, were tearing themselves away from this being and went back to Vyasadeva and said, what mantra have you given us, and what is the strength of this ghost? We chant it and it becomes worse. He moves towards us. He clasps our neck. This time we could escape, but next time we cannot. Sveyudedu said, Vyasadeva, where is that person? I will personally take care of him. So he went with the woodcutters and they brought him to a certain place, and then he continued alone, and he again sang one of these two verses. Can I sing this to you?
Jantim Chamalam Randran Vinur Adara Sudaya Pudayango Pabrinde Brindaranyam Swapadaramanam Ravisha Kitaki.
This is the meditation of the gopis who see Krishna disappearing in the forest and who are so moved in their hearts that with great effort these
lines come over their lips.
He wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. He has a beautiful blue Karnikara flower on his ear, like here, tucked here. The flower god. A yellow garment, as brilliant as gold. And the victory garland. Lord Krishna shows the best form of the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. You know, Krishna dances so much that everything dances on him. His eyebrows dance. His eyes dance. His mouth smiles. His ornaments dance. His garland dance. His feet dance. Krishna brings the whole world to dance. Even Brahma and Shiva, the great controllers, who come together with playful Krishna in this image of him, you know, dancing into the forest. He brings everyone alive, in other words. Dancing means you become alive. Beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. Everywhere are his marks. He puts them everywhere on the ground. The nectar of his heart, the gopis describe, it's love, the love of his heart, comes through his mouth and goes into his flute and fills the flute, and from there it flows. Krishna's love flows through his flute to the heart of his devotees. We will hear more about this. Krishna's flute music is love music. It comes from the heart and it then goes into the heart of his truthful devotees. And he's surrounded, he's not alone. Cowherd boys are all around. They have different color bodies. They have sticks, and around the sticks, the end of the sticks, they have lunch hanging there, chum chum chum, and they dance around Gopal and become very sad when Krishna only disappears for a moment behind a tree. They think, where is Krishna gone? Where is Krishna? They ask each other, oh, there. So when Vyasadev recited this verse again, Shukadev came running out of the forest and said, tell me more about Krishna. And Vyasadev said, yes, I know a lot of more verses like this. You come with me to our home. There I will teach you the Bhagavata. Vyasadev went with his sons through the Bhagavatam, and when the Bhagavatam Katha was finished, Shukadev got up. And Vyasadev said, son, you can't do this. Already one time you have left us. And then Shukadev Goswami did something very amazing. He said, he didn't actually say much. He just went, but as his father was rushing forward, he saw on the place where his son had stood just a moment before another Shukadev, a duplicate Shukadev. This Shukadev Goswami, not Goswami, this Shukadev stayed with his father and said, I'm with you, don't worry. But you just left. No, I'm here, can't you see? The Shukadev had left, but because Shukadev Goswami is Shukadev Goswami, he had left a duplicate. And this duplicate entered into a Grihastha ashram. Now, I know that some of you think I'm speculating. I want to read you because this is so unusual to hear. Prabhupada writes about this in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, 21st chapter,
25th verse.
When the father, very much aggrieved, began to follow his saintly boy Shukadev Goswami, the boy created a duplicate Shukadev who later entered family life.
Wow.
This is a personality, you know. This is really someone. So what we will try to do in this Bhagavad Katha, we will try to sit in the discussion of Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami and describe what was going on for Parikshit Maharaj and what was going on for Shukadev, giving this discussion. And because both of them are able to taste the nectar, we will humbly be in their association and listen. I have learned this in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, they always make a little artificial tree and put a green parrot on the tree, which represents Shukadev. So by this green parrot, I even have such a parrot, a green parrot. I didn't bring it because you would laugh at this. It's a toy parrot. It makes beep, 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 beep when you touch it. Shukadev is present there. And we are encouraged to taste the nectar from Shukadev Goswami's lips and arrange ourselves in such a mood. Now it is described. You all know the scenario of the Bhagavatam. Do you remember? Parikshit Maharaj had a curse upon him by which he would be forced to die within how many days? Good that you remember. And he asked a question. When he heard about this curse, he went down to the Ganga and he invited the greatest saints of his times to ask them a question. That is, what should I now do where I'm at the end of my life? They all gave their answers. But as they were discussing, confusion reigned high. There was a confusion level. It's like when you give a lecture, sometimes there is an inattention level. No one listens any longer. Now it's about 50% of you who don't listen. It's not so bad as in some other cases. It's called inattention level. But there is also a confusion level when the audience doesn't know. So this confusion level was very high. In the and at that moment when everyone said do hatha yoga or do tapasya or do karma yoga or this process, stand on your head for the last 7 days. You know, when there were such answers. The king didn't know what to do. So at this moment it is described Shukadev, who had left his father, the real Shukadev, arrived there because he knew, I have one ideal listener, Parikshit Maharaj, the king, who is an attached devotee of Krishna, who likes to taste Krishna. And I will tell him all what I learned about Krishna. And later, this will be taught all over the world, even in Frishka Gauranga. He had this idea. Shukadev, not an ordinary person. So he came into the assembly. He was followed by many women and street children who were laughing about him because he was really different from everyone else. He would not talk, he would not eat, in the evening he would go to some grihasthas and stay just for the time they needed to milk the cow and give him a little cow milk. That's all what he took. And he was wandering, a single-minded mission. He rarely slept. And the people couldn't understand him so well. They thought, like in India, you find sometimes pagal people, mad people behaving like this. They thought he was mad. So the children and some women who were into show and things, you know, they followed him. But when Shukadev Goswami entered the assembly of the saints, these children saw something. The saints all got up. You are the best person to give the answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question. And he was led through the ocean of saints onto the Vyasasan, where Parikshit Maharaj paid his obeisances and again repeated his question, what to do now? I'm a few days before my death. And then Shukadev said, you should listen to this Krishna Katha. This makes you eternal. Now it is described in the Shastras, Nivrittatashir Upagiyamana, that those who have taste in the Bhagavatam, those who have no longer taste for this world, they can have taste in Krishna. Now, I don't know how you estimate yourself. The normal, I think some of us still have some taste for the world. Do you have some taste for the world still? So you might think, I'm not very qualified. Let me get up and leave. This is not for me. I need to hear something on my level. But I want to encourage you, stick to this and you will get attraction. It's like therapy. You have to just sit like you sit in the sun, just be there with your body and you will get brown. So just hear the katha, be as attentive as you can, fight against your restless mind and something will happen with you. Sometimes you may fall asleep, no problem. It will sleep in the katha, but be there, don't run away. because it will act on you. This is something which is not dependent on you so much, as long as you don't make offenses, you know, then it's bad. But so without interruption, one should hear. One should not interrupt this. And then, so Bhagavatam went on for 4 days. Shukadev Goswami talked for day and for night. We only will do this 2 hours. We will be merciful to you. Day and day out, he was talking. Then, on the fourth day, Parikshit Maharaj said, I am so fortunate, Guru Maharaj. I am unqualified, really, for this. I'm a king who is materialistic, but you are sharing this nectar with me. But I have one question. And then he asked a question, which is at this moment a little bit too complicated for us, so we will not hear the question, we will hear it later. In essence, he said, please tell me more about Krishna in answer to my question. And as he said this, now I want to read this for you. Shukadev Goswami looked at Parikshit and studied his disciple. And he could see Parikshit, although he was only 3 days away from his death, was totally peaceful and in ecstasy. I know one person who is a psychologist and she did counseling to people on death row. Do you know what that is? In a prison, in America, you have people who are condemned to be executed on the electrical chair. And they get their date. Okay, the chair is free for you in 3 days. Now, because some of these people, they are human beings, are not able to handle psychologically this information, they need a psychotherapist. And this person, her name is Catherine, the very nice devotee of Krishna, wanted to make experience in real life counseling, you know, in emergency cases, and worked there. And she told me some of the criminals, knowing that in 3 days they would be executed, would pass urine and stool in their cloth. Some would beg, some would fall on their knees and run between the, what is it, the stolitzas, you know, the legs of the stolitza, and they would totally lose their balance. Parikshit was in the same situation. He knew 3 more days. And he knew that a snake would come, poisonous snake, and bite him. And it would be a very painful death. But he was just so blissful because he was assured of going back home, back to Godhead. The thing which gives most fear to us is our death. But most of us have forgotten that we die. And we have forgotten that we have forgotten that we die. Our subconsciousness has put this death problem out of our sight. But from there, from here where it's suppressed, this fear of death, it is always poking into our life with different fears, like my security will be disturbed, my partner will leave me, I won't have enough novats, people will not like me, you know, and shake on my position, you know, or insecurity. This is all the same thing. This is the fear of death which we have put in our subconsciousness is not giving peace. It pokes with many fears. All of us are fearful of something. At the time of death, 4 very strong fears confront the dying man. The first fear is, I will be separated from my body and leave everything behind which is dear to me. The second fear is, you look at your life and see, I have missed my opportunities. Krishna has given me opportunities, but I was just not eager enough to use them. And the bad karma will now come. The third fear is, you look at your family members or friends whom you like, and you understand, I never will look into your eyes again. I will be pulled out of this body. And you, with whom will I meet? Why, the friends who would always help me, they are torn away from me. And the fourth fear is, you really don't know where you will go at the time of death. It's absolutely not clear. It could be anywhere and everywhere. Imagine someone would come in here now and take any one of us out of the room. You know, some police people, and they would look maybe Arabian, and they would maybe sell our head in Damascus and our liver in Arabiakstan. We would be afraid. So death comes and takes everything away from us. And that's very fearful. That thought makes us really afraid. But Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, could see this, was so sure, I will go back to Godhead. I have nothing to do with these fears. And he felt a moment of great ecstasy. When he heard that Parikshit said, Guru Maharaj, tell me more about Krishna. He saw a pastime where Krishna gave his love to all his devotees, including the cows of Vrindavan. He saw how Krishna, in order to personally appear before each one of the devotees, was expanding himself in as many forms as there were cowherd boys. And he didn't even leave the cows aside. He even manifested for the cows. And he thought, Krishna is so kind, he can manifest to everyone. He can also manifest for everyone. He can manifest for Prema Rasamayi. No, don't know if this is your name. I usually get the wrong names. Sharanga Thakur, Danudhar, Mahasamayi. He can expand for everyone. And he does that usually. But Shukadev Goswami could see this with his own eyes. And when he saw the love of Krishna for his devotees, he became emotionally so absolutely intrigued that he fainted on the ground and couldn't stop. He couldn't continue to talk. He fainted. Imagine some of us would faint. We would most probably think he's a sahajiya. Because, it's so unusual for us to see this. But here comes the topmost Vaishnav. He just passes out. And Vyasadeva is sitting there. He had followed Shukadev. Narada Muni is sitting there, and they think, what will happen with the Bhagavad Katha if the speaker has fainted? Imagine you go to a lecture, the lecturer starts, Hare Krishna, Jai Radha Madhava, peng, and he falls down the chair. That's the end of the class. Shukadev Goswami did this. So Vyasadeva and Narada briefly talked to each other, and then they took karatals in their hands and chennais and drums and made a big noise and a big kirtan, like an ISKCON kirtan, really loud. And Shukadev came back to his consciousness, and he could understand everything and excused himself. And then he said to Parikshit, and that's where we end for today. He said, because you are so eager, you are Bhagavat Tottama, you are the best of the devotees. And the Guru is obliged to teach the esoteric topics of the scripture to a devoted student. When the student is qualified, then the guru is obliged to teach him the higher spiritual, the deeper spiritual knowledge and how it is. So therefore, I will tell you what I just saw in my vision, in my heart. I will tell you the best talk which just moved me so much that I could not stay in my ordinary consciousness. It's called Antadhana Chetana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was often in these visions of ecstatic trance, in this Antadhana Chetana, what I saw there, I will share with you. And I thought tomorrow we will start and hear about this katha from the lips of Shukadev Goswami. I made extensive notes and will quote from the Bhagavatam verses so that you get the effect. But I once again want to say this. I want to talk now a little bit like I will catch now everyone's attention. My dear devotees, the whole purpose of your Krishna consciousness is to always remember Krishna and not forget Him. I know you think, no, well, the purpose of my life is to make an education so that I can earn a lot of, not a lot, just the money I need according to my position in life. But this is this everyone does. It's also necessary. But Krishna consciousness adds something different and special to our life. It adds the opportunity to prepare ourselves to join Krishna in the eternal spiritual world, and that will happen when we become absorbed in Him by hearing about Him and chanting about Him. You know, when I found this out in my life, I'm usually the one who, I'm very slow in learning, but I did find this out, and I just feel, if I have the opportunity to go into the kingdom of God in this lifetime, I will ask the question, how will I do this? There in India, there was once a very, very known guru. He lived next to a sacred mountain, and one sannyasi came to him and said, "Can you please help me? I know what I should do in my life. I know the purpose and the goal. Yet sometimes I'm not able to live on that high level. What should I do? Can you identify with this question?" I think it's a typical devotee question. I know Krishna is there, I have faith, but on a day-to-day basis, it seems I can't contact that overarching faith and rest in the overarching faith. Can you? I flip out, I cry, I become fat and frustrated like everyone else who turns over 30, and I seem to be not able to connect all this, So the guru gave a very good answer, now, but you need to listen to this because it's a cryptic answer. He said, "There is an ocean, and on the other bank of the shore of the ocean is a golden town with a marketplace where you can get everything for free. But now, young man, let's stop to talk about the ocean. Let's talk about the boat. If you talk about the higher things, but you do not talk about the means, how to go there," that is what the guru wanted to say, "you will never get there. If you talk about love Krishna, love Krishna, love Krishna, be Krishna conscious, don't be in Maya, boom, this won't help you at..." It's good to sometimes hear it. You need to know how precisely will you go to Krishna. And you need to do that sometimes. And the scriptures say the goal is there. We should think about Krishna and not forget Him. And the means, the sadhana, which brings us there, the boat, which brings us over the ocean. That is chanting with the devotees and hearing about Krishna. So this is what we will try to do in this afternoon session. I thank you very much. Let me see if you have any questions to this, so that we can, in all seriousness, start tomorrow. You always have a question? That is very good. I will... very good, but let me ask first those who don't always have a question, because I will answer your question many times, but keep it. Yeah.
I prefer Bosnia other
than Bosnia, yes. Oh, we can, yes.
He heard that Prabhupada said that devotees need to be 70% Krishna conscious, and with this 70% if they go back to Krishna. That's, and he wants you simply to elaborate.
Yes. Have you all understood Nita Daya's question? There is, yeah, only 75% are enough. Not 100% is needed. No? What Srila Prabhupada, I have also heard this many times, and I have also read an excerpt from a lecture where Prabhupada says like this. Now, what Prabhupada says is that we can endeavor to become free from anattas, you know, the obstacles in the heart, and we can be 75% successful. We don't need to be 100% successful, because Krishna will see our sincere endeavor and make up for the rest. He will give us the mercy. So this ideology has given birth to our understanding in Krishna consciousness. Let me do my best and Krishna will do the rest. Bhaktas, Nasi Dragi Bhaktas, we will be done in 10 minutes, so if you could just be a little bit respectful to the program which goes on right now, and then after 10 minutes, eat and talk. I can smell the smell of pizza coming for you. So, any other question? Our Gospodine has a question. Yes. This will be the last question and then we will stop.
Da je u ekstazi i da je blago. Na propad kaže да, тази страх от смърт и може да бъде позитивен за самослуване. Питане какво е, от чега е Захаров Махараджа Парикшит бил освободен от страха от смърт? Но въобще не имал страх, чак напротив бил екстазия, ако се може.
Да. Okay, thank you.
He said that Maharaj that Shukadev Goswami noticed on the fourth day that Maharaj Parikshit was very clear of that. So he asked his wife, what is the reason that he is fearful? There's no fear of it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yes. I will make it very brief because devotees come to take shelter from the rain, so we have to. It's all right. Two more minutes, really. I understand. We have to take shelter all here, so we need to talk and do everything. I please feel free. I don't want to be your policeman, you know. two minutes. See, the fear which comes to every one of us on our deathbed can only be overcome if you know I'm going back home, back to Godhead, you know, or I'm going to Krishna, I'm in Krishna's hands. You know, the one fear was the insecurity. Where will I go now? So the devotee knows I'm going to Krishna. Another fear is I'm losing all those whom I love. But the devotee knows I'm going to Krishna. Everything will be all right, or he will make an arrangement, even if I have to be reborn, that I come to parents and my spiritual life will continue in their way. In this way, all the four fears which come at the time of death are taken away from the devotee. By his realization, Krishna consciousness, Parikshit Maharaj was someone like this. I would love to give a more elaborate or longer answer, but devotees really need the space because it rains outside, and we should end here so that they can do and eat and everything. So I thank you very much. Now I would in a parting say, please be so kind to come on time, because when we chant before the Katar, it will be easier for us to taste. We will be more interested and eager for Krishna. I see Madhva Muni. Do you want to make an announcement?